Well, good day everyone everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition, and the studio cam is on. So if you're hearing me on a Wednesday morning, come on over to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, click on the chat button, and join us in the chat room. Well, this first hour, we're going to just talk about current events, things in the news, questions, comments in the chat room that come up, or if we'll be taking calls for the first hour. I think the second hour, I'm going to do something that I've been wanting to do for a while, and that is go through the history of apocalyptic interpretation. This is a 250-page book authored by E.B. Eliot himself, although you can't get it out there anywhere but here. Because E.B. Eliot put this book in the appendix of the fourth volume of the Hori Apocalypticae, so you could find it there, but I wanted to go through it because I thought it would be interesting to people. Of course, it's interesting to me, kind of knowing what people thought about the apocalypse since the beginning of the church, or the Revelation era, because that's what apocalyptic interpretation is all about. It's the interpretation of the revelation and what people thought. So just to give you a quick preview, it covers, let's see, seven periods of history. And the first one is St. John to Constantine. And then as you can see, it has listed, in the first period, St. John to Constantine, it has nine authors who wrote on the Revelation during that period, and he reviews them. And so on, it goes Constantine to the fall of the empire, and that would be the fall of the Roman Empire, or it's breaking up into 10 parts. And then it has the fall of the Roman Empire, A.D. 500 to 1100. And then it goes from 1100 to the Reformation, and then the era and century of the Reformation. And it goes from 1610 to the French Revolution. And of course, the last period would be the French Revolution to the present time. So you want to, and that only covers up to about 1860. And that's when E.B. Eliot actually wrote this. I guess I would have to write one more era in here, write another chapter of that book. But really, I have done that. My two books that I've written, and that one is The Rapture Will Be Canceled, which is named after the second chapter of that book. And it's about more than just the rapture. It's about contemporary, the revelation in contemporary times, or a historicist's view of prophecy in our time. And all of the other publications that we have at my website across the border, so make sure you check those out there. Well, what do we have? I actually slept in a little bit today, so I didn't have quite as much time to prepare for this broadcast as I would have. Well, you know, I think we're just going to carry on our conversation somewhat from last week, talking about the new year, 2018, and the introduction of cryptocurrencies, and how far that will lead us to the biblical mark of the beast of Revelation chapter 13. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Now, let me check the chat room, see who's in the house and who is not in the house here. Let's see, I must have a chat room open here somewhere. Oh, yeah, we do. Well, we got Naughty Pines, Wacky and Far Out, and me in the chat room. So, well, almost since I slept in, I thought, man, I should just rerun today. But I didn't. I decided, well, even if I got nothing to talk about, I'll figure out something. Okay, well, let's look at a few new news items then. And let's start with this one. Cryptocurrency craze, a government-backed coin. Okay, well, anyway, let's go back to this. Next up in the cryptocurrency craze is a government-backed coin. In light of the rising popularity of cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum, central banks around the world are busy experimenting with their own versions of cryptocurrency or digital currency. China's central bank announced in January, that it has completed a successful trial run of transacting digital currencies among banks. Then in September, Japan, Sweden, and Estonia all announced similar digital currency projects. J-Coin for Japan, e-Krona for Sweden, Estcoin for Estonia. The roster doesn't stop there. The UK, Uruguay, Kazakhstan have all expressed similar ambitions. Okay, so on, well, we have here on Wednesday, William Dudley, President and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, said the Fed is exploring the idea of offering its own digital currency, according to published reports on comments the Fed president made at a conference. However, Dudley would say it would be very premature to estimate when the Fed would come up with its own version of Bitcoin. And I don't know how deep they go into this to tell us how that would actually work, but let's read a little bit more. This global phenomenon is so new that no one has yet to solidify a term to address it. Some call it a central bank issued cryptocurrency or government backed cryptocurrency. Some refuse to call it cryptocurrency, naming it digital fiat. Yeah, digital fiat. Or sovereign digital currency. Yeah. But the only reason it's crypto is because, they use encryption to, to secure it. You know, it's the security measure is a crypto. So I guess it would be better called digital fiat or sovereign digital currency. To me, the idea of cryptocurrency is free of control from any person and institution. There's nothing cryptocurrency about these government-backed projects. That's true. The encryption is to secure it so that nobody can cheat on it. Of course, we know that's not going to happen. They've already had millions of dollars of cryptocurrency stolen. So digital thefts will be up, especially with the craze. And the government has to step in and do something because you've got Bitcoin going up to 20,000, back down to 12,000 per coin. And, you know, they started out with pennies, you know, per coin. So some people have gotten very rich. And so if the governments start making their own cryptocurrency, they're going to get in this kind of, you know, speculation market with cryptocurrencies. Or I believe the whole idea of a government-based cryptocurrency would be to stabilize it. Of course, I mean, is the government now going to still need to introduce inflation? Well, of course. The governments don't introduce inflation on purpose. Well, they do. They do and they don't. Because the inflation comes about by creating new money out of thin air, which reduces the value of all the money out there. But see, they couldn't do that with gold. So there was little inflation when gold, money was backed by hard metals. But now that the government just prints more, well, they rob everyone. And that's why I don't understand the whole need for taxes and income tax and all of that nonsense. That's just a big game, a big control game, so that they can watch every dime you spend and everything. Governments don't need to collect taxes at all with cryptocurrencies or fiat currencies. All they have to do is print more money and spend it into circulation. That's all. That's problematic. And, you know, no matter how many good ideas there are out there about how to do this, I don't think the government's ever going to stop the Inquisition. Anyway, if they're going to have fiat usury money, and this is a pipe dream, you know, let me put some stuff in my pipe and smoke it, that they should do away with the whole reporting thing where they track everybody's currency. But that's the whole control. They're going to use crime as, monetary crime and to control people, to control crime as one of their main things about, you know, controlling the monetary system and making everyone report. So I don't see it going any other way until Christ returns. And of course, when Christ returns, and I refer to my the late series I did called the Alien Invasion series. Hope everybody enjoyed that. I don't believe we'll be using any cryptocurrency. I think we'll be using biblical currency, which will be trade in substance, yeah, and real money, backed by gold or silver or whatever we need, you know, needs to be done. There's a lot of thinking to do about how things are going to work in the millennium. And they'll have to work much the same way as they have in the past, because we're going to still have mortal men, you know, sons of Adam, sons and daughters of Adam, born of the seed of Adam, born in sin during that era. But, of course, the government is going to change to Christ's government at that time. But anyway, back to reality here, and we'll leave the future for now, and try to understand. So the idea here in this article is that each country is now thinking about taking the currency that they have and making a digital currency to trade in. Well, we already have digital currency. Most people, so it's not really going to be any different. I think what they really want to do is they want to get rid of all the other digital currencies, all of the Bitcoin, all of the cryptocurrencies. And if so, if the governments, you know, if they issue their own cryptocurrency, then they're going to have to phase out these other Bitcoin and other currencies. And once they do that, once that starts happening throughout this year, you're going to see Bitcoin and all of these others fall. So if you're in Bitcoin now, I would say get out, take your profits, turn them into to your national currency or a national currency somewhere, so that when they transition, because these crypto, your Ethereum and Bitcoin are gonna have to crash. And when they crash, well, then the parity or the exchange will be whatever it is, and they will be outlawed. Yeah, they're going to have to do away with them somehow, because the government has to control the money. That's all there is to it. Unfortunately, it's fiat usury money, and it's digital. And so we know where that's all going. Now, whether we really have a one world, I don't even know if that's necessary, because basically what we have already is we have a one world monetary system. It's just everybody gets to experience it in their own country, in the form of their historic nomenclature, you know, like an American dollar, and then you had whatever they call the money in other countries, you know, francs, pesos, depending on where you're at. See, they all have the same nomenclature, but underneath it is the same fiat usury money. People are, you know, it's becoming more amalgamated and becoming more unified all the time, to where we can see easily within, you know, a few years, you know, even if we have to give it another 10 years for people to give up all their nomenclature, because it's like the European Union has been kind of an experiment. And now throughout the whole European Union, you have the euro, and it's working. And I don't know how that's working. Are these countries now that are talking about developing their own currencies, you know, like the J coin for Japan and the E krona for Sweden, and the Est coin for Estonia, and so on. You know, they're kind of naming, I guess, some of these, like the krona for Sweden, after what they called their old currencies. But now in all those countries, you can use euros or dollars. It doesn't matter. They're all, it seems that in most places, especially in the cities and more metropolitan areas, that you can use euros or dollars and it won't matter. It doesn't matter very much at all. But then you have a country like China where they have the yuan, but you know, they're populous. How many people are in China? I don't know, what, 2 billion or something? I don't know exactly, but I know that it's a huge number. It's like a majority, a major part of the population of the whole planet. So having parity between all of these is right now is very easily using the internet, because you have these algorithms that, you know, instantly, you know, if you buy something on eBay from another country, you pay it in dollars and they receive it in whatever they posted it in, and you never know the difference. So basically, we already have a one world currency. So we just have to see how this thing, how it turns out. But one thing I do know, it seems that we are headed for a one world digital currency that will be uniform. That's the ideal that they're paying for. And it's like the article that we have, that we talked about last week, and that I have on my website. Let's see, this one, where is that article? If you go down here to The Mark of the Beast 2018, and I republished this article is truncated from chapter 12 of my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled, okay? Which I have that. Of course, this video here is a much clearer and better picture of the Economist magazine. And if you skip ahead here, you can see the phoenix, which they call this world currency, rising out of the ashes of paper money down here. And that's the whole idea, that the paper money will be done away with and the whole world will be using one. Now, they set the target date 2018, and look what's in the news. Look what we're talking about here in this article here. You know, we're talking about what they told us would be happening. And I don't know if you can hear that music on that article from my website. I guess I'll stop it. Oh, it's already stopped. Okay. Whoops. Oh, I see. So that they're talking about exactly what the article said would happen. Anyway, we're going to go into a break here. You're listening to Across the Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition. And we'll wrap up these articles and jump into the history of apocalyptic interpretation in hour two. So make sure that you stick around for that. We'll be back in a few minutes. Do not go anywhere. The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Back. You're listening to Across the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition, and we're just talking about the money plans for the new year. I'm not sure they're going to get it this year, but you can see that the article from 1988, January edition of what is it called? What is that magazine called? The Economist magazine. Has been fairly accurate, since that is what we're talking about here, and everyone else is talking about cryptocurrencies. And perhaps it was hard to see in 1988, almost impossible to believe that we would be here today. And since most probably 90% of all transactions are already being done digitally, the crypto part of the cryptocurrency only relates to the security features, and some people like the private cryptocurrencies because they have nothing to do with the government, but that's problematic for the government. And plus that, the whole cryptocurrency craze now is only a Ponzi scheme because nobody's buying anything with it. I mean, I can't even use it. There are like a handful of stores and businesses that take it. So it's kind of locked out of regular trade and commerce. And so therefore, basically, it's all speculative, and the rise in it is speculative, and it has nothing to back it. So the downside is that you could lose everything. So, there are people that bought Bitcoin at $10,000 here just recently, because a year ago, I don't even know what it was, about $1,000 or something of Bitcoin, if even that much, but here it went to 10,000, 12,000, then went up to almost 20,000. People sold at 20,000, otherwise it wouldn't have went back down. So, you know, that Ponzi scheme, a lot of people lost money in that. And if you're holding on to it thinking it's going to go back up or whatever, you should sell out now. That's for sure. If you're into that. I know my friend, James, who used to be here in the studio. I haven't seen James in the chat room in a while, or heard from him in a while, but he was really into that cryptocurrency stuff, when he first came here, but he decided that it wasn't right. You know, it was all speculation and gambling. And he was right about that. However, he just bought $10,000 worth of it then and held on to it till now and did nothing at all, and held on to it till what, a week ago when it was 20,000 and sold it, hey, yeah, they would have done well with it. But that's not what happens. You can't really plan on these things because nobody could plan on it going to 20,000. Well, I guess maybe you could, but you know, you would have been smart to get out of it then. So anyway, the government, if the government's now going to move into cryptocurrency, yeah, they're going to have to outlaw or, you know, put an end, a moratorium on the cryptocurrencies and give them so much time to exchange for dollars. And you better do it fast if that happens, because I'll tell you, it's going to bottom out to where it should be worth almost nothing. Yeah, because it's got no backing whatsoever. Anyway, well, we'll have to keep our eye on this thing. So we have some of the countries here, J-Coin for Japan, E-Krona for Sweden, Est-Coin for Estonia, and UK, Uruguay, Kazakhstan have all expressed similar ambitions. I also have an article here, I found this on True News. Israel plans its own digital currency. And let's see what they say. With conflicting reports saying it's meant to curb tax evasion. How's that going to work? The government prints money, you earn money, and they're just going to take it right out of your cryptocurrency account. I mean, why don't they just take it before you get it? Why do you have to report your income? Can't they just say, well, we're going to get a piece of every transaction? And they said that the whole, like in the USA 1040 Inquisition. See, the very idea of cryptocurrency and digital transactions negates the need for reporting every year, because the government can just take it at whatever point it wants to take it at. But they're going to continue to, you know, with their 1040 Inquisitions or whatever they call their Inquisitions in other countries. Here it's the 1040 income tax form. It was a 1040 Inquisition. They'll continue with it. Anyway, Reuters is reporting that a source within the Bank of Israel says that the central bank is ready to authorize the government to launch a blockchain distributed ledger or digital treasury currency, similar to other cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum, in a move that would shift Israel towards a cashless society almost overnight. The Knesset is also reported preparing legislation to make it happen as early as the 2019 budget year. Israel for years has sought to find a way to limit the amount of cash it prints because the black market has grown over time to now consume more than 20% of the country's economy. This has had a trickle-down impact on government tax receipts, a centralized digital currency, which would allow the government to track every transaction, is seen by many as a means to address that issue, but others believe it will only lead to a faster exodus away from government-issued currencies towards other cryptocurrencies. So you see the necessity there of doing away or outlawing other digital currencies, which they can do easily because it's all online in plain sight where everybody can see what's going on. So the true black market is going to be trade in cash, coins, substance, and things like that, which they're going to want to outlaw anyway, but it's really not necessary, you know, for people to operate within the government. Well, those people perhaps should be taxed. And if the government says, well, you can only use our cryptocurrencies or a one world cryptocurrency, then they can just take the money at every transaction point, you know, perhaps 1% of every transaction would be more than sufficient to operate every government on the planet, and they should be happy with that. But nah, you know, the Antichrist loves his inquisitions, so even though they're not necessary and people could enjoy liberty and freedom, well, the Antichrist loves slavery, and you know, I mean, his greatest point of slavery is sin. And as long as people are living in sin, well, they will be enslaved by their government. But, you know, thank God. Oh, you know, we've only got maybe 40 years before Christ returns. And the alien invasion ensues, and he installs his government, yeah, over the whole earth. And Satan and his governing authorities will be removed. And Satan, the organizing force for the governments or rulers of evil, as F. Tupper Saucy named them, the rulers of evil, because unfortunately, you know, it's true that evil needs to rule evil, because evil requires evil to rule it. And that is why the most evil people get into government. Because only the most evil people, good people, aren't willing to do what is required, because good people are inherently good. And that's why they're pushed out of the government. That's why there's so much, you have good cops, you have bad cops. But, you know, do really evil people fear good cops? No, they fear bad cops. You kind of get the idea. And that's one of the principles in F. Tupper Saucy's book, The Rulers of Evil, to understand why evil is necessary. And I've said it for many years that God, in his wisdom, has allowed evil men that love money to control the money. It's perfect. You know, in an evil world, it's almost necessary, because money corrupts. And all of us good men out here, good and godly men, well, we still have that corrupt seed of Adam in us, and we can be corrupted too. And, you know, if we don't admit that, then, you know, then we are deceived in ourselves. And we thank God that that temptations are withheld from us. It's a rare rich man, like Jesus said, you know, that with the rich, you know, it's nearly impossible for the rich to be saved. But with God, all things are possible, he said, but that difficulty exists. And so we understand the necessity of evil men ruling evil men, because good men are not effective rulers of evil. And we live in an evil world where evil is dominant. But when Christ returns, well, the evil won't be dominant, but there will still be evil and men with evil in their hearts. Back to it. So we see it's building, it's coming, and there's no way to get away from it. We just have to watch this thing and see how it plays out over the next 35 or 40 years. And, you know, I've speculated a little bit, because you can only speculate about the future. How the things written, because what the Bible says about the future isn't speculation, but how it actually evolves and is implemented, well, we can only speculate, especially as to a timetable. You know, we have several things that may or may not happen, like they may build a temple-type building on the Temple Mount in Israel. They may, but they may not. We don't know. It might happen, and it might not happen. We won't know until it does happen, because it's not really prophesied. We know that they want, you know, those that are controlling things, they are pushing toward that end, just like we see a one-world digital currency developing. We see things developing in the Mideast that seem to be going on toward that end of building coming to some kind of conclusion on the Temple Mount, whether it's His Holy Mountain Vision, that's what they call it, His Holy Mountain Vision. You can look that, you can put that in your Google search engine there. And I talk about that in my book, When the Third Temple is Built. Here, I have a copy here, When the Third Temple is Built, the Rapture Play Will Begin. And I talk about that, the His Holy Mountain Vision, where they're going to bring together the three Abrahamic faiths, so-called, on the Temple Mount, and share the Temple Mount, yeah, which will mean building a temple-type building in Jerusalem. And, well, when they do that, you see, because here's the problem. Once they do it, the whole rapture gig is up. The whole rapture play is up, because nobody is going to be raptured. Sorry. You know, if you believe in the rapture fantasy, You know, the pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib, any one of them, they're all a fantasy. Because once they start building that temple over there, if they build it, because, like I said, I can't even say if they're going to build it or not. You know? Because there's no third temple prophesied in the scripture before Christ returns. And I know when he returns, there will be some kind of temple building. Exactly what it will be, I don't know what the plans are for that. Whether those are the Ezekiel plans or not, I don't know. It seems that the plans in Ezekiel would be those of a final, complete third temple, because the interim temple, when they rebuilt the second temple, well, it never fulfilled the plans given by Ezekiel, the descriptions there. It never reached the fulfillment of those plans. So those plans, it seems, will be fulfilled when Christ returns. Like I said, we don't know if and what and how things will play out. It's the same with the one world mark of the beast that is referred to in Revelation chapter 13. We don't exactly see how that's going to play out. Let's say they start building the temple, perhaps at the end of that, when the Antichrist stands up, because there's no raptures. I mean, that's going to cause some problems. But see, that works to the true Antichrist's advantage, not the character who brings about this, you know, the treaty or 7-year tribulation treaty to have the temple built. When nobody's raptured at the end of the 7 years and ongoing 8, 9, 10 years from the building of a temple building, well, then the Antichrist will have an opportunity to say that, you know, I am he. See, there, we were right all along. You, all of you Protestants, you know, you had it wrong. Of course, they never say that, well, actually, one of our Jesuit priests came up with this whole idea, and we sold it to you Protestants just for this very opportunity, so that we could stand here at the end of this fallacy and say we were right all along, that that Christ is going to rule the earth through his vicar for 1,000 years. You can see how this plays right into the hands of the Antichrist. And then, at that time, when he rules, and the whole world is now worshiping the Antichrist, will that be the time when they start to enforce? Because we're still going to have all of these economic problems because of fiat usury money. It's always going to create problems. And so they'll say, well, we have it now. We need to come together, one worldwide digital currency, and it'll be enforced. And anyone who doesn't participate or anyone who trades outside of it will be killed. And of course, that would be the Bible-believing Christians, would be the main part of those who would object to worshiping the beast, its image, and worshiping to participate in that one world mark of the beast monetary system. So it may happen that way, that we may go through the phony tribulation, 7-year tribulation deception and Temple Mount deception, and come to the end of that with no raptures. Because, see, the rapture is not the resurrection. The resurrection will happen when Christ returns. It won't happen on the 7-year rapture tribulation deception calendar. That's a whole cloth invention of a Jesuit Ribera with one object in mind. And that is to vindicate the true and biblical and historical and biblical Antichrist. Yeah, the one who sits in the seat of the papacy, to vindicate him. And he will stand up, whoever he is, whether it's Bergoglio or the next one, it doesn't matter. It's a long line. The man of sin is whoever sits in that seat. So whoever it is, it'll be a man for the time, just like the current Antichrist, Bergoglio Francis, is the man for the time now. Of course, he's pushing all of these same ideas, one world monetary system, one world government, one world religion, with the papacy at the head of it all. He's pushing all those ideas, communism, socialism, which is Satan's monetary system. It's necessary in order to control all the people and what they think. You have to have socialism and everyone participating in it. So perhaps after the 7-year tribulation deception plays out and the Antichrist stands up and says, I was right all along. This is the reign of the vicar of Christ on earth foretold by the Bible, he'll say. This is the prophecy fulfilled. And now we have a one world government and everyone must worship the beast and its image and have its mark in order to buy or sell or trade. Or to just buy or sell, as the scripture says. The scripture doesn't say trade. So, but there will be a black market out there, and perhaps we need to be as prepared for that as we can. Okay, well, we're coming on the end of the hour. No comments, questions, or anything in the chat room, I'm guessing. Let me take a look here. Well, we have, you know, W just says, I don't think it's mentioned that Yeshua will have a temple during the millennium. We will have buildings. Seriously? People build stuff, and I don't see why we won't have buildings. I guess some, I don't know how is the climate going to change on the earth? Perhaps some things are going to be restored. We'll see. One thing I do know is it's going to be much better than it is now. Will there be a temple? Will there be buildings in Israel? I believe there will be. I believe the temple depicted perhaps by Ezekiel is the temple for that time, because it almost seemed like it would be some kind of miraculous temple or buildings that would be built at Jerusalem when he comes. So we'll see. We'll see how that turns out. We are the temple of God. That will not change, you know. And when we see him, we will be like him. So we will be the temple of God, like he is the temple of God. But he will be, you know, he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He will always be that. You know, I can't articulate that mystery. I just know that it's true, and I understand it in a way that I really can't articulate beyond what the scripture says, that he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and he will always be that, Yeshua. And he was, he existed before the world began. He was in the beginning when all things were made, and all things were made by him, and through him were all things. So he always was, he is God, he always will be God. There's a lot of arguments. Tom and his program before me was talking about Arianism and trying to wrap my mind around that and understand what Arianism is, saying that Jesus was a created man. Well, he had to be more than a created man. Of course, his body was created, but if he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, well, then, you know, it's a mystery. So I don't really like to argue about things like that, and I couldn't take an Arian position and say that Christ isn't God, because I believe that he is, that he, like I said, he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So look forward to seeing him. And I may never be able to articulate that properly, but I know that when I see him, I'll know. And knowing is enough for me. Yeah. Whether anyone agrees with me or not. And it's hard, you know, it's like people arguing over the Trinity. And then they're trying to conceptualize something in their mind and nail it down into a doctrine, something that can't be nailed down. Maybe God is more than a Trinity. I read about the seven spirits of God. You know, what is that? Maybe he's more than we conceive. Maybe we only conceive a Trinity now, or, you know, him in three persons now. So I don't see a Trinity doctrine in the scripture. I do see the three aspects, you know, that we perceive God in the scripture, and I agree with that. But, you know, I'm not willing to nail down and say, well, God is thus, and I can write it out in a doctrine or a creed. And if you don't believe that, well, then you're a heretic. Because, you know, who am I and who is any other man? Yeah. So I believe what the word says by faith. You know, Jesus, when he taught the disciples to pray, he didn't teach them to pray to him. He didn't teach them to pray to the Holy Spirit. He said, when you pray, pray like this. He looked up and he said, Our Father, who art in heaven. So that's how I'm going to pray, like he taught me to pray. I still pray to the Father. You know, I don't think I'm authorized actually to pray to the Holy Spirit. I don't find that anywhere in the scripture. And I think people doing that, they think a lot more highly of themselves than they ought to. They ought to just be obedient to what Christ taught us. Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border. That's the end of this session. And when we come back, we're going to jump into History of Apocalyptic Interpretation. So make sure you stick around for our next segment.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more, using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.